I've been a nun for over 50 years. I was 18 when I entered.
So how did you first know you wanted to become a nun?
Well, I think that everybody has what is known as a vocation. You have a calling. You have your calling, which is what you do. And you feel sort of content and happy in what you're doing. And I always felt a sort of yen, whatever you like to call it, to do something different, kind of something special. I suppose I was brought up in a Catholic family with quite a religion, particularly my father, that I was very fond of. And I just felt that's what I, if I didn't do that, I felt, or try to do it, it was something that was calling me, that was sort of urging me, that was what I wanted to do.
Did you have that feeling from quite a young age?
Probably I had. But one of the first things I wanted to do was teach. When I was a little girl, I used to get my brothers, I had two older brothers, their exercise books when they had finished with them, and I read pencil and, you know, and get blackboards and have dolls lined up. I always wanted to teach. That probably was my first vocation. And then into that came the, something of it, to do something very special, to give my life to God completely, that he was calling me to do that somehow. It's very strange. It's difficult to explain, and I always felt that if I didn't follow that yen, I just would feel not right.
You're right. I think it is hard for other people to understand. It's certainly hard for me to understand, because I think people have this idea that once you become a nun, you give everything up, and that seems like such a huge undertaking.
Well, the most difficult thing that I feel that I've done is to leave my family. You leave your family completely, and I went abroad to another country. That was the most difficult bit. I don't have anything that really, I don't have any money. I mean, that is mine. We use money, obviously, because you have to. But I couldn't say, well, tomorrow I'd like to go on a cruise somewhere. You know, I can't do that sort of thing.
No. What did your family think then when you said you wanted to become a nun?
Well, I suppose they felt that if that's what I wanted to do, I had a family that were very understanding. I mean, I was the first to leave my family. Nobody else became religious of any kind. They were married and did other things. But they just let me do it.
Can you still stay in contact with your family as a nun?
Of course. I ring my sister, or she rings me every week. I go home once a year. As a congregation, we've always had, some congregations are very, very stiff and they were never allowed to go home. But we were always allowed to go home.
Gosh, that seems quite strict, never allowing them to go home ever.
Yes. I can't remember, I don't know which congregation it was, and it's not like that anymore. This is before the Vatican II, where if they went to their home, they weren't allowed into their home house. They would have to live sort of in a hotel or somewhere else beside it, which I think was really dreadful.
Yeah. And how is that when you go home?
Oh, well, I've got nieces and nephews and, you know, we're great fun.
Does it feel bizarre, though? Does it feel odd in any way to be outside of the convent?
In a sense, I'm always glad to get back. This is where I belong. This is where I, you know, where my life is. You know, it's good to meet people and to be with them, and for them particularly it's nice for them to see me, and we chat about the past or remember things, you know, and talk about whatever's going on. But on the whole, this is where I want to come back to.
How cloistered are you within the convent? Because I think some people have this idea that nuns never leave the convent walls.
Oh, that is a bit ancient, that idea. There are cloister nuns, poor Clares, Carmelites, who don't, although they're becoming more frequently, they can come out on various occasions. But we have, for example, 8 days retreat every year, which means that for 8 days we don't talk, and we have moments of prayer, and we get a priest who leads it, or who you can talk to him, or you can have a priest retreat where he will talk to you, and you know, and you're in, you don't go out during that time. I mean, you go out for a walk if you like, but you don't talk to people, you know.
That must be tough.
I love it.
Do you?
Yes. I suppose you sort of, you know, I think on the whole, if you're a sister, you need to like your own company, because you don't talk all the time. There are moments, for example, what I appreciate is that in the evening, when we go to bed, good night, God bless, you shut your door of your bedroom, nobody comes banging in on you or, you know, interfering. It's your own private sort of place, and I think that's important.
Do you watch TV, listen to the radio?
Yes, yes, yes. I love music, so I have classical music, that, yes, of course you can. And we do look at television. I mean, you wouldn't look at the latest sort of everything that's going, some of the stuff that's there. We see, hear the news. I like something like Lewis or Foyle's War, for example. That sort of thing.
You wouldn't be watching EastEnders?
No.
No. Fair enough, fair enough. What about the internet, social media? That's such a massive thing. Is that something that you'd have access to within the convent?
Yes, and I think we have to keep up what's going on. Of course we have. And a lot of our guests come here through the internet, you know, I've got an email and so on.
You're not on Facebook, are you, Sister Cecile?
I'm not on Facebook, and I don't know anything about Twitter. And I'm pretty useless with my mobile phone. I just use it because it's a tool for my work.
Yeah. You know? I guess there isn't a pocket in your habit for your mobile.
I prefer to keep a habit. Some of the sisters in France, when they were working in a school, they weren't allowed to work in the school without wearing a habit, so they wear leg clothes. But I like to keep my habit. I like people to know where I am. You know, it's just a sober, ordinary sort of shirt with a blouse and this and a cross.
And, of course, then...
And the veil, yeah.
The veil. Yeah. How do people react to you when they pass you in the street, for example?
Well, here in Rottingdean, and they're mostly not Catholic, they're all very friendly. Hello, sister. Because they all know us. They know the sisters. The convent has been here for so long. And they're always very friendly. And we go to, for example, there's festivals, music festivals and so on. There's a Kipling festival on at the moment. And we were invited to a play last night. Two of us went. I go to the music festival as well. There's something good on there.
Really? Yeah. And do you find that people want to confide in you?
Yes, especially the guests, they're like sort of, they feel they can sort of chat to us and it's not going to go any further.
But if you can't trust a nun, who can you trust?
Well, yes, I'm afraid, yes, indeed.
You mentioned before how much you love children, you know, you spent a lot of your life teaching. Do you not feel as though you've missed out the fact that you won't ever get that chance to have children of your own?
Yeah. I always remember when I was much younger, seeing somebody, a woman, you know, was pregnant and think, I'll never be pregnant. Of course you miss being a mother to your own children. Of course you do. I mean, I'm very fond of my nieces and nephews. But when you're in a school and you can give a sort of wider love to everybody, you know, all these children were important to me and I knew them all. Yes, of course you do. And I mean, that's what you give up. You know, you give up having a family, you give up loving one person. You give your love to everybody, you know.
I mean, that's the other thing, isn't it? People often think about, when they think about nuns and convent living, is the issue of celibacy.
Absolutely.
And I feel weird even asking you the question, but don't you miss that?
You get over it, you know. There were times, yes, there are moments, not now particularly, but yes, when I was much younger, yeah. Of course you do. But that... You know, you give it up, and you give it up wholeheartedly, and there's no point in giving something if it doesn't. It does cost. Mm-hmm. And it costs, too, not being, not dressing with all sorts of fashionable things, or not having money to do as you like. All these things, but you've given them up.